finding the omens that lead you to your North Star. And for me, Sanara had become my North Star. I launched, but immediately as soon as I launched, I was entered into this desert with the 70% downturn in the market, COVID. And there was an article that came out from Cosmetic Design Europe that stated exactly what I had seen years prior, that Latin American botanicals show so much potential, yet are underutilized in the beauty market.
Welcome to the Brands for a Better World podcast, the podcast that brings you the stories behind people and products building a more just, healthy, and regenerative future for us all. Tune in weekly, and together, we'll learn why these better products and brands were created, how they're helping fix broken systems, and what you can do to support them. My hope is that you'll discover some new brands to love and get some sparks of inspiration that will help you live your best life. Hi, I'm your host, Gage Mitchell, founder of Modern Species, a sustainable brand design agency helping better brands grow to scale their impact. This podcast is one way we do that. If you like the show, please help it grow by leaving ratings and reviews on your podcast app and by sharing your favorite episodes with your friends. Maybe this will be one of them. This episode is part of a minority-owned fellowship series in partnership with Naturally Network. And today, I'm speaking with Rebecca Jensen, founder of Sanara Skincare, about the importance of self-care, the mostly untapped potential of Latin American botanicals, and Rebecca's personal battle with cancer while trying to grow her business. We then wrap up with a Naturally Network-themed rapid-fire question segment. Dig in, and maybe consider this a prompt to focus on your own self-care a bit more. I know I need to.
Thanks for having me. I am Rebecca Jensen, the creator and founder of Sanara, where I create mind and body care rituals powered by indigenous Latin American botanicals for the luxury beauty and spa and wellness space.
Love it. As I was digging in and looking into your background, I love your focus on just self-care in general, right? It's a big part of your life. And I think being an entrepreneur is particularly hard. And, you know, from what I hear, I'm not one, but being a woman of color obviously has its challenges in all ways, entrepreneurship or other things. And then on top of that, when I was digging into your background, battling cancer, you know, that's immensely difficult while also doing all these other things, you know, carrying all this weight. So that's just a lot. Yes. So let's talk a little bit about how you're like managing self-care through all of this.
You know,
stuff.
It has been a whirlwind for sure since launching my Tranquila collection, my first collection. I launched 4 months before COVID, where the spa market, where I was focusing in, took a 70% downturn. And mind you, a hit in the market, hospitality. And this is my very first entrepreneurial journey. And so, you know, all those, even when you're seasoned, you have those self-doubt and you have these ideas and all the things. And so self-care has been really important, especially, you know, it's one thing to handle the market and think like, okay, I don't have any control over that. And then as you're working towards climbing out of that little hole, something else happens, and which has to do with your health. And again, something completely out of my control. And the first diagnosis, it was really a time for me because I am a hard worker. It comes from my family. My family were migrant workers. And I always tell people the border crossed us as my family was migrating from season to season, from field to field. And so I know how to work really, really hard to my detriment sometimes. And my first diagnosis, it was really because I had just come out of COVID, or we really hadn't, but we thought we had. And then this hit me. It was just about, I had to surrender. It's all the energy I had to do. So meditation had really become a big part of getting my mind right through this season of drought, of desert that I've been through for the past 4 years. And yoga, just slowing down, you know, slowing down, because I know how to push. I know how to work. I know all those things. Those things come easy. Slowing down is hard.
Yeah, especially as an entrepreneur, I think, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. And so when you've got nothing left to give and you're like, okay, my white flag is up, I surrender. So it was a really good learning experience, especially for what I'm trying to do, which was create these body care rituals where you do slow down. And so my life needed to match the message I was trying to give.
Yeah, I hear that. And we'll dig into the cancer journey in a little bit too. But even just like you said, you created these products, right? But the goal, you weren't like an entrepreneur that's just like, I think there's a problem out in the world and I'm going to go try to find a way to solve that problem and create products. You had your own problem and you set out to solve it. And then you realized this could actually help a lot of other people. So what inspired you to kind of take this issue, do it into your own hands and solve your psoriasis rather than looking to other products or other experts or something like that?
Yeah. So I've lived with psoriasis since my teens, and it's always been a point of insecurity in my life, especially when you have those moments of real big outbreaks, which is exacerbated by stress and anxiety and all those things. It's an autoimmune condition, really, that can't be solved by skin. They can give you topical steroids and things like that. And so this was about 6 years ago when I was in my kitchen. Now that I look back, Sonara was really created out of my own needs. You know, I have psoriasis. I didn't feel glamorous, luxurious with all the products. You know, anything that has to do with sensitive skin at the time was at your CVS, and it looked very medicinal, medical, wasn't anything that made me feel attractive or made me feel emotionally connected or tied. And so I really wanted to create products that made you feel feminine, made you feel luxurious, made you feel all these things, and had your back at the same time by being conscientious of the ingredients that were put inside. I don't know what your age is, but I was born in 82, where, you know, the hairspray was burning a hole in the ozone layer. And yeah. So where manufacturing went crazy, and there was no thought to the earth or to our bodies. And, you know, we now have the repercussions of that. And so it was also a mind shift of having to realize, oh, they don't have my best interest in mind, some of these products that are out there. How can I shift that and be a voice for those who need to be?
Yeah. And I was born in 81, so I definitely remember, remember all that. I remember everything just being about, oh yeah, the ozone and put on sunscreen and some things like that back in those days, right? But it's we've come a long way because we've pushed the environment and pushed social issues so far to the breaking point that it's now in everyone's face and obvious. And we've realized that the problem is much bigger than just hairspray. But to your point, I think that's where a lot of innovation has come out in the last couple decades, is people realizing how big some of these problems are and that maybe we can't trust the companies that cause those problems to solve them. So I think entrepreneurs like yourself are jumping in and saying, you know what, I'm just going to roll my sleeves up, get in the kitchen and try to figure out some solutions here, because corporations, or not all corporations, have my back, right?
That's right. Yeah. So it's been exciting.
Yeah. So you started talking about like jumping in the kitchen, but what was that process like of just, you decide the market doesn't have what you need? Mm-hmm. And you just get in the kitchen, then what? Like, I don't even know where I would start.
I know. So it started, so interestingly enough, my sister-in-law, my husband's Norwegian, who's from Norway. And so just in general, the culture of Norwegians are very crafty. And my sister-in-law was making soap in her kitchen, and she told me about it. And honestly, it was furthest from my mind. I thought it was the nerdiest thing ever. Why would I make soap when I can go to Walgreens and buy it for a couple of bucks and be done?
Right.
And I didn't understand that process, but my curiosity was piqued because I have psoriasis. And I was like, you know, I probably should care what's I'm putting onto my skin. And so really just started learning how to make soap. I fell in love with the creativity. Soap making is a cross between science, the chemistry of lye and oils combining to make a whole nother product, to artistry, where you get to pick the scents, the colors, how beautiful do you want to make this? And so it really spoke to me from scientific, which I come from the medical field, and you know, I have that sort of mentality of things like that, and then the artistry. But with my corporate job, I didn't have that artistry. That soap making gave me that outlet. And so it really honestly just snowballed from there, because then I fell in love. I was buying all these ingredients, learning, oh, this ingredient does that, this ingredient does this. And my husband was like, wait, hold on. hundreds of bars of soap later.
He's like, we're never going to use all this. What are you doing?
Exactly. He's like, either we sell it or you be done with this. And I'm like, I can't be done with it. Like, I'm obsessed at this point. And so that was when I started looking at the market as a whole and noticed, I'm Latina. We have Ayurvedic skincare. We have Korean skincare. We have Scandinavia, France, all these beautiful countries that are represented in the beauty industry, but Latin America wasn't. And then that's when I was like, that's what I'm going to do.
Nice. I forget. I don't think I wrote it down, but there was a stat maybe on your LinkedIn page or something, like an article that you shared that said like blank percentage of the world is shifting in this direction of, you know, people of color, women of color, of Latin heritage, et cetera. However, only this tiny sliver or almost none of the market addresses the concerns of those people. So it's like this giant gap, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of why we're doing this series with Naturally Network members around like minority owned companies, because part of the reason we want to support these types of businesses is because they're solving problems that have just been ignored for a long time, right? They're left a lot of people and what will soon be the majority of people in this country, at least, and probably already is the majority around the world, right? They're leaving those people out of the equation when they're developing products. So we need to correct that, right? So having people bring their own culture into products is important.
Yeah, as I was coming through this and deciding all these things, actually, I launched my Tranquila collection November 2019, 4 months before the world or the United States shut down for COVID. And I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Alchemist.
I think I have a long time ago, but it just popped up back up on my radar and I put it on my list to read again. Yeah.
Okay. Then it's a sign from the universe to read it again. But it talks about how finding your North Star, you know, finding the omens that lead you to your North Star. And for me, Sanara had become my North Star. I launched, but immediately as soon as I launched, I was entered into this desert with the 70% downturn in the market, COVID. And there was an article that came out from Cosmetic Design Europe that stated exactly what I had seen years prior, that Latin American botanicals show so much potential yet are underutilized in the beauty market. And so there's so many angles from an ingredient standpoint to a humanity standpoint. We want to be recognized. And who else is going to recognize that Latinas, Latinos, whatever, are not being addressed in the market but a Latina or a Latino? And so it's been honestly, I feel like it's been an honor to be beholden of this gift of seeing the need and just going for it. And so it's just become my passion at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have it dialed in with your own interests and passion, because that'll keep you going when times are rough, like you're growing a business during COVID or you get cancer, right? You have to have that passion to push 100%. You through that. Otherwise, you'll just quit. But I'm also a branding business person, and I love that you've also just carved out a very clear focus for the brand. Like, it's easy to say what your company is about, right? And how it's different. So I think that's also, from a business standpoint, really smart.
Yeah, it really worked out, to be honest.
How did you go about actually like digging into this? Did you already have a lot of knowledge of the Latin American traditions and healing practices? Or was this something that you were like, you know what, I know there's a different way and I've seen it in my community or something like that, but I need to dig in and learn this so I can bring it to the market?
Yeah, you know, bringing it back to where we grew up, as far as in the 80s, where manufacturing was going crazy, I grew up with the idea of, it's also, I have to say, I'll stop there. It's been self-discovery of these traditions and things like that. It's reconnected me to my Latin heritage, where I say the border cross us, feeling disconnected from my heritage. It's brought me reconnection. Since then, you know, when you're reconnecting with yourself and your heritage, you start going back to your family and things like that. So I've since gone to my mother and asked her, because my grandmother passed when I was 12, you know, and there's only so much you can understand as a 12-year-old about your grandparents and things like that. And so my grandmother took care of me since from the age of a 5, maybe 1 or 2 years, as my mom was going to college. And she's always had a huge impact on my life. And my mom later told me how my grandma Hasso would ask the teenagers in the neighborhood who had access to cannabis, and she would make her own cannabis salves back in the day for her arthritis. And wow. I had no idea. I know. And I'm like, it's been in me, but it was forgotten. And now I get to rediscover these pieces of me and my family and my heritage that just really makes me feel like I'm me. I'm discovering myself.
Sounds like your grandmother was kind of way ahead of her time, obviously. That's what I love about a lot of this, like tapping back into more. I don't want to use the word ancient because it's not always like hundreds of years old, or well, it is hundreds or thousands of years old, but it hasn't been lost for that long. But like tapping back into like cultural wisdom that we've lost over the past few decades, maybe in some cultures lost over hundreds or centuries of years. But like what I love about it is that we kind of knew what we were doing in many ways and just decided it wasn't advanced enough and that we needed to modernize or whatever. And then we kind of went down these paths that in a few cases is better. But in a lot of the cases, we've actually gone backwards, and now we're just rediscovering what we already knew.
It's
and
so
I love
true.
That about like regenerative agriculture, for example, or you know topics like this, where we have these herbs, we have these plants, we have these other things that we already know that can heal us. We just stopped using them for whatever reason.
Right. You know, power of marketing right there.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. So that's really cool that you kind of like rediscovered this over time, found ways to kind of weave that into this new passion of making your own skincare products, which, you know, I do have some friends who do that and I haven't tried it yet, but it does seem like fun. Like the artistry side of me who loves cooking might actually love doing some of this stuff as well. But you decided to, you know, put all this into a brand and launch it. And by the way, I love the name of the brand too, because for those who don't know, Sanara means you will heal in Spanish. So I love that, you know, you were on this healing journey and you're healing yourself, both your skin, but also your body. You know, you created this space to like build out this company, and then like pandemics and other things hit. You know, it's just like, that is how the world works. That is how entrepreneurship works. It seems you're always dealing with one challenge or another. But let's talk about the cancer challenge. You know, we talked about like a little bit at the beginning, but again, you're in the middle of building this business, pandemic, cancer, all that at once. So how did you keep pushing through that? Like, I seem to remember reading too that the doctors weren't necessarily taking it seriously at first, so you had to push through. But how did you have that confidence? How did you have that peace? How did you keep pushing forward through all this and keep advocating for your health?
Yeah. So knowledge, first of all, like I mentioned to you, I come from the healthcare field. I actually went to school, little sidetrack, when I moved to Austin. My parents, we were not wealthy. My parents couldn't afford to send me to college, but I moved to Austin and needed to figure out my life in my early 20s and what I was going to do. And so just started looking at Austin Community College's programs, like, okay, I need a degree quick because I need to start making money quick to support myself. So ultrasound was one of those programs that I could earn a degree in 2 years and start making money pretty quickly. So my career choice at that time was a means to an end. It was challenging and I loved it. But since then, I've like, oh, I want to get away from this ultrasound. Healthcare is not what I thought it was.
Yeah,
and totally. Which sadly enough. And so the career I've been trying to run away from since I started Sanara is actually the career that helped save my life because of the knowledge that I had gained from ultrasound. You know, you scan breast, you know what normal looks like, or benign, you know what cancer could look like. And so I knew the pitfalls of imaging. So when I was feeling this thing, this lump in my breast, it had other feelings like it was itching and things like that. And I felt like there was a fever to it because people ask me, what did you feel? And I often just tell people, everyone's going to feel something different. So you just need to know your body. And, you know, Sanara really afforded that or gave me that opportunity to slow down, to rediscover my body in these lumps and bumps that maybe don't belong there. And it was a combination of my medical experience, knowing that mammo and ultrasound has their downfalls, having my experience with physicians that don't always have the answers, and, you know, being alongside patients where I'm screaming inside, advocate for yourself, advocate for yourself. Yeah. Then when I was faced with this, I don't know how you say it, moment, opportunity, I don't know, where I was going through these things, I literally went to my family physician because I was feeling something. I need a referral over to the radiologist. I knew from the moment that I was suspicious of something that I needed my end outcome to be a biopsy, because that's the only way I was going to know. I know mammal's going to give me an idea what it could be, or maybe ultrasound, but I also know that maybe they don't. And when I did go to my appointment, mammo and ultrasound were benign. I was 39, no Wow. family history. Yeah. So statistically, in their mind, it's virtually impossible. But my body was saying something different. And it's just really been a culmination of my knowledge as a healthcare provider, and then also slowing down enough to rediscover and reconnect with my body that gave me the ultimate, you know, I pushed my doctors. And then again, when it happened in 2022, I went back and forth with my surgeon for 6 months. Because we thought it was scar tissue because I went through a bilateral mastectomy the first time. So that was virtually impossible in their minds too for it to come back. Yeah, and yeah. At the end of December 2022, I had had it. I said, I'm tired of going back and forth with you. I've given you the benefit of the doubt enough. Let's get it taken out. I don't care if we think it's scar tissue. He agreed. He was sure it was going to be benign. And I said, I'm sure too, but I'm not going to know till I get it tested. So we did. And then lo and behold, you know, he called me a week later, not, I wouldn't say distraught. You could hear how upset he was in his voice, but he said, my persistence saved my life. And, you know, at that point, that one hit really hard because I was tired. You know, I was tired of fighting for someone to listen to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really powerful message right there. Like, the persistence that saved your life, the knowledge of this field that you kind of, like, I'm going to say randomly went into, you know, it wasn't like this passion or something, but you went into that field, but that knowledge, your persistence, even possibly like just taking the time and space to understand your body, like all these things happened and were there for you. Mm-hmm. Almost as though it was preparing you for these moments, right? Like, this is where, like, I'm personally not a super spiritual person, but like, it's hard to deny sometimes that, like, our journey is a collection of experiences that then become powerful. They might not always feel in the moment like, ah, this is the path I should be on. But when you have moments in your path and whatever you've experienced in the past help you through that moment, you can't help but deny, you know, this was all right. Like, everything I did led to this moment and prepared me for this moment. So yeah, I love that this is an example of that. Like, you just had what you needed and you, you know, grounded yourself and you went through it and you persisted and you used what you knew to get through this moment. That's really powerful.
No, thank you. I mean, it's, speaking of the spirituality, I did not, when I went into this, I had been running away from spirituality myself. My husband's atheist, to let you know what kind of environment he's Norwegian. He's, you know, very, whatever the idea you have an atheist, he's a great guy. But I had been getting away from spirituality from, you know, the way I was raised. And this just brought me right back into like, okay, someone is taking care of me or something is watching out for me in ways that I could not have imagined. And it's the whole, when you can reconnect with yourself, you reconnect with your intuition, which you can argue can be a spiritual experience, you know, that you can't explain it, but you just know. And when you reconnect with yourself, you make better decisions, you have clear mind, and you just are overall a better person.
Right. Yeah, that's super powerful. Again, like, I, no matter which God you believe in or what your spiritual philosophy is, there is an undeniable natural system and order of things, right? Even if you just want to celebrate Mother Nature as the creator of things, right? But like, nature has its own systems and life has patterns and cycles. And one thing that I've been recently thinking about, because a lot of people I know are going through some tough times, whether it's cancer or their business is struggling or, you know, relationships or whatever. But one thing I was realizing is that, you know, it can be tempting to want to avoid all of this pain and stress and anxiety and difficulty, whether it's cancer, or building a business or whatever, but those are all part of the journey, right? Like if you hadn't learned some of these things or gone through some of these things, you might not have survived, right? It's like those difficulties are those parts of your life journey that gave you the context, gave you the knowledge, gave you the awareness, gave you the mindset to get through, right? So to some degree, we almost need to like celebrate the difficult times too, right? Like it's it seems weird, but like those difficult times are where we're learning how to survive and thrive in the better times.
For sure. One of the moments that I celebrated, which was a very difficult time, but I couldn't do it any other way, was when I was losing my hair. And I was like, do I do it quietly in my home? What do I do? And I decided to have a head shaving party. And it was honestly one of the hardest things. And I kept telling people, it's like walking through a door that you don't know what's on the other side. And it scares you, but you just got to do it. But what happens? You become a better person. You become a kinder person. You become a more empathetic person when you go through these hardships. And, you know, I'm grateful for the outcome of those hardships for sure.
Yeah, I love it. So speaking of, you know, in general, self-care, healing, all this kind of stuff, I know that beyond making products, you're also a bit of a healer and have different healing practices. So I'm just curious, with someone with your knowledge of this kind of practice of self-care and healing, what were you doing during all this cancer journey? Like, what were some of your self-care practices that kept you going?
Yeah, yoga. And I'm not talking about warrior pose, feeling like I'm this warrior by any means. Yeah. It was literally restorative yoga, where, you know, I'm just in child's pose, maybe for minutes at a time, hugging myself, because of we forget to do that. And oftentimes, you know, not just hug ourselves or not just, you know, care for ourselves, but sometimes we reject ourselves. And, you know, I've spent a lot of my upbringing and into my 30s and still same if I catch myself of rejecting myself. And it was no longer pushing myself, because I'd always know how to push myself. It was just to love myself.
Wow.
And through restorative yoga, through meditation, just by quieting my mind that continually, constantly races. And so it was all about gentleness for me.
Wow. I feel like, you know, the social media platform I'm on the most these days is LinkedIn. And there's this growing balance of like people talking about self-care and mental health and stuff on there. But, you know, so many of the posts on platforms like LinkedIn or the articles you read in business magazines or something are all about the hustle, the hard work, the, you know, work harder and more hours than everyone else. And, you know, when times are tough, just work 10 times harder and like all this kind of stuff. But I love the focus of like gentleness and self-love, et cetera, because to your point, like a lot of entrepreneurs listen to the show, like we know how to push ourselves, right? But do we know how to love ourselves too? And that's really powerful. And that's something I know I personally don't. Like I need to work on that. So this is inspiring to me personally to like create a little more. I've had a few moments this year where I had like a taste of just calm and quiet space in my life. And I told myself I need to do more of this because it is restorative and healing, right? But this is yet another reminder that I need to take some of those moments for myself, because we can't show up as our full selves for our team, for our customers, for our family, friends, etc., if we're not taking care of ourselves. And I think so many of us just push, push, push and go, go, go and go from one to-do item or one challenge or one award or one whatever to the next, without stopping to reflect, without creating space and peace, without kind of coming back to some harmony. So I love that you used that to get yourself through these times, but it's also just a tool that we should all be using all of the time, right?
For sure. I mean, I think one of the things that has fascinated me and I've been aware of is, you know, entrepreneurs, and I hear these amazing, like just for an example, I forget his name, so excuse me, but the founder of Zappos, he created this amazing company, and thinking as an entrepreneur, if I was at that level, and then, you know, the way he passed, you know, or in people who commit suicide being at, they've accomplished all that they've wanted to do, and then it not being enough. You know, I never want to get myself in that position. So constantly taking care of myself. And trust me, I'm not perfect at that. This whole year has just been go, go, go. And then finally, last Thursday, I hit a wall. And I'm like, you know what? I'm giving myself permission to take Thursday and Friday off. And at first I was like, that was really hard for me. I was like, Thursday and Friday off? And I was like, yeah, it can do that. And then it felt so good. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take Saturday and Sunday off too. And then when I did, Monday came around and my brain is fresh. I feel like there was a shift in my mindset where I was just pushing. You know how you're just, you can imagine pushing a wall that's there and you're pushing and pushing and it's going a little bit, but when I can just stop and say, okay, I can't push this anymore. And I can just reset. Oh my God. I'm like, what was I doing for the past, 10, 12 months
right.
when all I just needed was 5 days of break, take a break.
Yeah. That's.
I want to take more one day, but right now 5 days.
Totally. Yeah. That reminds me of, can't remember where I first heard it, but it was this concept of like little daily cleaning, like 5 minutes now instead of like 2 hours later or something, right? Like little daily things that you can do to just tidy up here or there, put the dishes in the dishwasher, like throw your trash off your desk away, like those kind of things that you ignore when you're like crazy busy or something like that. But then you're punished because it's like, now it's going to take me hours to clean all this stuff up. But you could have just been doing little moments of cleaning. What you were just describing kind of reminds me of that, right? Like 5 days of restorative health or whatever brings you so much energy to power through, whereas hustling, you're just draining your battery the whole time, right? If you don't recharge that battery, it's eventually going to get so drained that you're going to burn out or, and let's be honest, even as it's draining, you're probably not making the best decisions. But taking that 5 days, which seems like you just don't have that much time to give, or you got all these deadlines, or you got all these, orders to fulfill.
I got bills to make. I got plans. Yeah. We're about to hit Black Friday and I haven't even made my Black Friday plans, but I couldn't even think about Black Friday when I'm drowning over here. So I took the time and it needs to be more routine for sure. But again, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm trying to learn my own medicine that I'm trying to give.
Yeah. It's a tough lesson to learn. Like, we know it's right, but it's easier said than done, right? Because there are lots of things we have to react to if we want to keep our business going. So I personally struggle with that balance, just working all the time and trying to remind myself I need to take some time off and relax too. But it's hard. Like, when all these opportunities or deadlines or whatever pop up, it's like, I have to be willing to say no, or I have to be willing to push things off, or I have to be willing to maybe let some people down along the way if I'm going to create some space for myself. But in the long run, it's probably the better choice, right? So we've talked a lot about the concept behind the business, but like, let's get specific here. What products are you most known for and where can people go to learn more about them?
Yeah. So I would say my best seller is my Chilean rosehip seed body oil. So it's light, it's beautiful. All my products are scented with just a whisper. So I market towards the spa market. So I get a lot of inspiration from the spa market. And so just as you need to whisper in when you're at the spa, my scent is a whisper. I never want something that's overpowering, and because that's my biggest pet peeve. So that is a great product. It's an easy win. It's light, but yet highly moisturizing. And then one of my other favorite, they all change all the time, but I'll stick with this one because it has to do with an ingredient that I discovered from the Amazon called Kupawasu. And so Kupawasu is actually from the Amazon. It's a cousin to cacao. And what was interesting as I discovered this ingredient is it's 2 times more hydrating than shea butter, which we've all heard of. Yeah, but nobody's heard of it. Again, the power of marketing. Shea butter is a beautiful ingredient, so I don't want to say that it's not, but there are so many ingredients, like I said, that are underutilized or undiscovered that I'm happy to discover are out there. And I had gone to a spa trade show last year, and I was telling all the spa directors, I probably spoke to 100 spa directors, which, mind you, they are in beauty business. They know ingredients. Maybe 2 of them had heard of Kupawasu. Wow. And I can guarantee you 100% had heard of shea butter. And so I have a Kupawasu body butter, which is very hydrating, great for the winter months, especially, if you're up in the north or, just really that dry weather that you have. It's amazing. And actually, Four Seasons Veil used to have a shea treatment, and then they swapped it out with my Kupawasu treatment. And so I would say those two are really ones that are easy to win people over quickly.
I mean, that's great when you win them over quickly. The challenge of trying to sell something innovative, by innovative, I mean, maybe it's a new form, it's a new flavor, it's a new ingredient, something like that. is the education process, right? So like, at least with this, like once people use it, they're like convinced, but it still means you have to go out and educate people on these new ingredients all the time. But let's flip that around. How are you staying informed and educated about these different ingredients? Because it starts with you, right? You have to learn about it before you can convince others.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just to be honest and frank, and it's been my life. It's been what's helped train me is a good old Google University. And, you know, I come from a medical field. And so I'm reading medical articles and things like that, which interestingly enough, I discovered something even recently with my breast cancer diagnosis. My radiation oncologist wanted me to make this green tea that I could spray on my area that was getting radiated because it helped with breast cancer and preventing it. And that piqued my interest because I'm like, you mean green tea like from the supermarket and you are my doctor like telling me to make this green tea? So then I got curious as a scientist and I said, okay, so I found the article that they referenced about green tea helping with breast cancer. So then I dove even a little bit further and I said, well, what's in green tea that's helping with breast cancer? And it's an antioxidant called polyphenols. And I'm like, okay, green tea is to Asia where I have an yerba mate bath soak. So yerba mate is to South America. And I'm like, okay, let me compare green tea to yerba mate polyphenols. And then I discovered actually that yerba mate has more polyphenols than green tea. And so these doctors are studying ingredients that they've heard about because that's top of mind. But what about these other ingredients that nobody's thinking about? And so these little research things takes me down a rabbit hole that's really enlightening and fun for me.
That's fascinating. And again, your medical background, even though that's not necessarily where you wanted to go, continues to serve you, right? So it's about the full journey and carrying all those experiences and knowledge with you. Also, shout out to yerba mate. I'm drinking it right now. The guayaki yerba mate is one of my daily rituals. So cheers to them.
What is it called?
Guayaki is the brand, but it's just their loose leaf yerba mate that
I'm going to try
every morning.
And so then what I started doing is for my radiation, instead of green tea, I started making my own yerba mate tea that I would spray on. And so eventually maybe I'll do something with that, but it just inspires me to know all the beautiful botanicals that come from Latin America. And I have to say, this was when I was discovering, or, you know, Sanara was coming to my mind and to these ideas. This was also a time where our president at the time was saying that Mexicans were rapists and all these things. And it like made me so mad. And I was like, no, I'm going to show the beauty of Latin America. And this is just my way of doing that. And so it really does like just light my soul up when I can discover these beautiful ingredients that outperform top of mind ingredients.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because I mean, I forget what article I was reading too, but it was something about how much of the like rainforests we've cut down, for example, and how many, you know, species we have no idea exist, both plant and animal and fungi, all that kind of stuff, in the jungles or even in the oceans. Like there's so much of the oceans we haven't explored, right? But we're just plowing it down to grow some crops, some like, you know, monocrops of stuff that we do know, but we're cutting all these like rainforests or whatever down or killing the oceans, etc. How many like cancer curing or, you know, skin curing or mental health curing or, you know, whatever, how many of those plants or animals or fungi are we just constantly destroying without even knowing they exist, right? So it's like, even in our known world, you're discovering things.
So true. And, you know, climate change is a really big concern for me, as it should be for everybody, but even for my business, you know, just like you said, like, it's mind-boggling and we need to do something, figure it out.
And that's, you know, part of why I do what I do around sustainability and focusing on things that are super interconnected. Like I do a lot of work in the food space around like organic, regenerative, fair trade, et cetera. But like you've fixed the food system. You're also like impacting positively a bunch of other systems. But, you know, same thing with this, like paying a little bit more attention to what we're putting on our skin or putting in our bodies might make us start asking questions of, well, what else is out there that we're kind of missing the boat on, and where can we find more information, or how do we protect the planet so we don't destroy those things before we even find out about them, et cetera. So, you know, that's why I'm also part of 1% for the planet, is because even though I don't necessarily do a bunch of outdoor related, like hiking related brand projects or something like that, we realize that this planet is like, is all that we have, right? Like all these resources, all like we survive off of it, everything else survives off it. It's all interconnected. So if we're not somehow doing what we can to protect the planet along the way, then food suffers, like humans suffer, our health suffers, like it's all connected, right? So I love that you're exploring and finding these ingredients that are raising the awareness of all the other things that are out there. We get so caught up in only pushing corn everywhere, corn syrup, corn this, corn that, whatever. But there's like so many other types of food that have sugar or sweetness or whatever else that we're trying to do. But we just, humans tend to want to just find one thing and then maximize the crap out of it instead of celebrating the diversity of all of the things and the interconnectedness.
So true. Absolutely.
So just for people who know and are convinced that they really want to go try these products right now, they could go to Sanara Skincare. And I will put the link in the show notes of this episode as well so they can get there. But I feel like I could keep geeking out on what we've been talking about for a while.
Me too. I'm having so much fun.
But I also have been looking at the clock and realizing I told listeners that I was going to try to do shorter episodes, which I'm failing on. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to just switch into, like, since this is part of a Naturally Networked series, we're going to switch into just a bit of a somewhat rapid fire round questions around Naturally Networked so people learn more about that too. So what is your favorite thing about Naturally Networked?
You know, being a first-time entrepreneur and the fear that comes with it, Naturally Network has really given me an eye-opening reality to what real entrepreneurship is. You know, it can be, I've had many people that want to be a part of Sanara, and then when we get down to what entrepreneurship means, which is basically you're solving problems all day long, and there's not a lot of glitz and glamour that comes with that. It's a lot of rolling up of your sleeves, being able to be connected with other entrepreneurs. Because like I said, at the time that I grew up, it was McDonald's, it was Coca-Cola, all these big, huge conglomerates that had no face. And so Naturally Network was able to put a face to these brands and a story as to what it really is like to build a brand.
That's cool. Put a face to it. Like, I think that's part of the modern way of business is people are more interested in knowing a little bit about who's behind a product or why they're doing it, right? That's all the shift in consumer trends towards buying things, you know, locally made or made with more intentions or made with more transparency, et cetera. It's all just because we're starting to realize, wait a minute, where this is made, how this is made, what's in it is actually really important.
Yeah.
And not knowing that's what's put us in a lot of these really bad situations. So I love that.
Absolutely.
So who's someone in the network that you want to give a shout out to for supporting your journey and why?
Yeah, I would say the person who comes out the most is Katrina Tolentino. She, you know, is a super connector. She is warm and welcoming and gave me that safe space to come in and explore. Because like I said, there's a lot of growth, inner mental growth that has to happen as an entrepreneur. I don't belong, you know, who am I? Who do I think I am? And to have someone like Katrina to be like, yeah, what you're doing is amazing. And I'm like, it is? Okay, yeah. And so just to have that empathetic person who is, you know, looking out for the smaller guy. So I give her shout out.
Yeah, she's amazing. We've had her on the podcast twice now as well. So so a big fan of her too.
I'm going to have to listen to those. I love, she's inspiring for
Absolutely. That's a great one. Okay, so what's the hardest thing about being a woman of color on this entrepreneurial journey?
I think the hardest thing is, well, as a woman and a person of color, lack of funding, lack of resources. I think as a culture, we can tend to stick to ourselves because it's safe. And these entrepreneurial world is dominated by male white men, which is great. My husband's a male white man, so I know there are plenty of good ones out there. And so I think it's just being able to overcome those mindsets that keep you back and, you know, overcoming them and realizing that I am capable. And so it's been hard, it's been challenging, but I know I'm capable to overcome whatever obstacle may come my way.
Yeah. And that's a powerful note too about the clicky old white guys club of a lot of how what happened to a lot of business culture for a long time, right? It's not just like a culture that like holds people out because they're supporting their own, for lack of a better word, tribe, you know, like they're supporting their people who look like them and talk like them and act like them, et cetera. But I did read something a while back. I can't even remember the source, but it was something about investment firms and how a lot of them are made up of, you know, white dudes, and they fund other white dudes because that's who they understand. That's who they click with. That's who's in their social circle.
Makes sense. Yeah.
The boards that are the investment firms that they studied that had more diversity on their investment team, not only were more open, like had more access to diverse groups of businesses because their social network was wider, but they were also actually better at making financial decisions. Like they outperform the white guy club investments, because the white guy club investments are like, you look and talk and act like me, you must know what you're talking about. Yeah. So they invest a little bit more on that. But the diverse investment firm was able to approach it from a better angle and say like, well, sure, they seem like they know what they're doing, but like this business plan actually sucks, right? Or, you know what?
Yeah.
This person doesn't have a lot of experience, but I see their drive and their passion, and the market they're going after is huge, right? It's like opening up all these conversations to have make better investment decisions. So the funny thing is like the lack of funding and resources that comes from that clicky vibe is actually hurting the investment firms too, because they could be backing a lot better companies if they opened up their circle more.
Yeah, I'm amazed when I hear that this company, they get, you know, hundreds of millions or millions of investment and they close down, and then they go and they get another one, another investments. And yet here I'm like, really? Yeah. Like, I don't get it.
I can't even get a $100,000 grant or loan or whatever. Exactly. And like this person just burned $40 million.
Exactly.
Like one of the examples I keep hearing about on like LinkedIn lately is, I think it's Oatly, if I'm misquoting it, you know, sorry to everyone, but I'm pretty sure it's Oatly, where they made something like $700 million in revenue, you know, during this year, last year, whatever, and lost $70 million, like negative $70 million. And so all these people are popping up. These kind of stories keep bubbling up. It's like, how do you have that much loss for so long and keep staying in business? And it's just because for whatever reason, people keep pumping money in to keep it alive, because maybe they hope that someday it'll turn around. Whereas there's all these like amazing businesses that are turning a profit that you just don't know of, just because they're not on this unicorn growth path doesn't mean they're not good investments, right? And I think it's just something's broken. You know, all the systems are broken, as we've talked about today, but like something's very broken, broken in the funding world too. Anyway, how has the minority-owned fellowship helped you?
I think in the same way that Naturally Network has, it's given me faces to relate with, people to feel at ease with in this terrain that's, you know, bumpy and unpredictable and, you know, scary. It's been able to give that camaraderie that comes with building something together.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's, I think community in general is like one of my favorite things to build, just because of that, right? You need a space where people get what you're going through, a space where people understand your challenges, and hopefully a space where, like, because they're in a, on a same journey or same path, they'll also have learned some lessons you haven't yet and can share it, and you can teach them something that they haven't come across yet. And together we can go further faster, is what kind of I've been describing as community. So it's powerful in that regard, but it's also just nice to feel seen and heard sometimes, you know, to be able to vent about something and somebody's like, yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, for sure.
Love it. Yeah. And inspired by, as you're saying. So that's beautiful. So one final question, since this podcast is all about supporting brands for a better world, what does a better world mean to you?
You know, I was thinking about this last night, and when we can be fulfilled, our mind, our spirit, our body can be fulfilled, meaning we're not overworked. We make a good paycheck. We can enjoy our families. Our mind, meaning I can be challenged and I can be taught to learn more. And my spirit, meaning that we're all treated well in what we do. If I can create, I come from corporate, and I come from very toxic corporate. And that was also part of my journey in wanting to create something, because I want to create that atmosphere where people are fulfilled, their mind, their body, and their spirit. And, you know, it just doesn't feel like it's too much to ask.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that's a perfect spot to end. We should all seek out those spaces, whether it's a community, a job, build our own business, whatever, where we can support everyone being fulfilled, mind, body, and spirit. Beautiful. Yeah. So we'll put links to everything we discussed in the show notes, but I just want to celebrate your, I know you just finished up your cancer treatment, so congratulations on that, but also celebrate your persistence and strength and wisdom to know that you need to create some space and peace during that journey too, instead of just stressing through it. And I think my hunch would be when the science catches up to nature, that's probably a big part of what got you through this, right? Because all the drugs and stuff we throw at things, you know, hit or miss. Like, you don't always know if it's going to work. Yeah. But the people that I feel like power through are the ones that have that I'm going to survive and I'm going to heal. I'm going to work on that. When they have that mentality, it feels like everything else works better, right? So.
Yeah, for sure. Mental mindset is huge, you know. People's outcomes are, or people's situations are different. But, you know, if you can have the same outcome from one person to the next, and if your mindset is different, then, you know, it could be the game changer.
Absolutely. So congratulations on all that. I'm excited to see what you keep doing as you keep building this brand and everything else you're doing in life. But thanks for doing that. Thanks for sharing this story. Thanks for creating these products for the world. And thanks for, as you mentioned, trying to create space where people can be fulfilled, mind, body, and spirit.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This has been an honor.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about Rebecca or her company, go to sanaraskincare.com. That's sanaraskincare.com. If you like this show, remember to help us grow by liking, reviewing, and sharing. If you're new here, don't forget we have over 100 episodes in the archive. Some might be called Evolve CPG, but it's the same show, so dig in for more goodness. If you consider yourself an impact-driven professional, join me over at impactdriven.community, where we're supporting each other's growth as impact leaders.